We have with us live on Skype a guest from the far side of the world, a man who is dedicated to the truth, transparency and freedom, a man who helped many people to wake up from coma induced on people by slavery systems of control. He does that by sharing his views on life, universe and everything else on radio shows, conferences throughout the world, and also his YouTube channel and his website www.thecrowhouse.com. We have with us Max Egan. Max, welcome to Croatian OPPT radio show Hour of Truth. It's an honor to have you with us, and please accept our apology for screwing up the time zones.
That's all good. It's nice to be on here. Yeah, I got up, I set the alarm and got up and I saw all these missed calls and thought, oops, they've done something wrong.
No, we did. Max, before we open our first topic, I was asked to relay to you warm regards from one very special fan of yours who is sensitive to energy, and she is listening to us right now, and she wanted me to tell you that you are a beautiful soul, and she thanks you for what you are and what you do.
Well, that's very nice of her to say so, and I'm sure that she is too. We all are. We just seem to have forgotten because we've been trained to forget.
Yes, we did. Okay, Max, moving on. I did introduce you briefly, both in Croatian and English, but tell me, how would you introduce yourself if you were in my shoes?
Well, look, I'm very bad at self-promotion, so I'm an author, I'm a radio host, I'm a filmmaker, I'm just a normal person. That's the point of my whole presentation and everything that I do, is that I'm not anything special. I'm just a normal person like everybody else. And you don't have to be somebody special in order to speak out. You just got to be prepared to speak. And once you discover yourself and discover really what's going on in the world, there comes an obligation to speak. So I think that a lot of people tend to put researchers such as myself up on pedestals, but I think we're not worthy of that. I think I'm no better or no worse or no more special than anybody else. I'm just prepared to use my voice, and so are you. And so are a lot of people now, and that's the part that people need to take on board.
Yeah. Okay. The opening song for this show was performed while you were sleeping by Australian rock band The Holy Sea. That was with clear intention, because I would like to open a topic on Vatican and recent events that took place there. The resignation of Pope Benedict, the new Pope Francis, and his recent actions and documents he released. So, would you please tell us your views on the Holy See, and not the band, but the Vatican Holy See, and these recent events that took place there?
Well, the Holy See, I mean, it's a fictional construct. I mean, this is the Vatican's claim to rule the earth, basically, the Holy See, the Vatican City, and everything the Catholic Church has done. It's I think it's a reprehensible organization. I really do. I think it's done a great deal of damage to the earth. I don't think it's got anything to do with Christ or true Christianity, for those people who think it does. I just don't, because of the actions of this organization. It's an organization which basically created the corporate system that currently enslaves us. That's really what the Holy See is. It's just a corporate empire. If you really, you know, break it down to the nitty-gritty, that's what it is. And I think people need to pay attention to it. I mean, even if you go around South America and Philippines and places like this where you find that Catholicism is so rampant, these countries have now been taken over by corporations. And there's corporate advertising everywhere. And all you've got to do is pull back the label on the corporate advertising signs to see the Christian signs underneath, because this is the mechanism they use to go in and brainwash the people and open them up to corporatism. That's basically, in a nutshell, what the Holy See is. As for the Pope resigning, and I mean, it was interesting that it happened at the same time as the OPPT thing. Whether it was a coincidence or not, I don't know. I haven't really looked into it that much since then. The new Pope, I mean, I don't trust anything these people say or do. I don't pay particular attention to them, because I think they're the head of a fictional corporate empire, essentially. That's what the Holy See is.
So do you you think that they are on the top of the food chain?
Well, yes and no. They're in the top of the corporate food chain. They control the whole corporate empire. They're, of course, there's other mechanisms, though, like the banking system, the banking cartels. The Vatican doesn't control the banking cartels. Mm-hmm. The banking cartels are simply another arm of the same mechanism. Because money, you know, the corporate system, the system of commerce that's been superimposed over everybody's consciousness, this is the glue that's used to hold this, the system together, because people are kept on the treadmill. They're always too busy and too distracted collecting paper to notice what's going on around them. Mm-hmm. And the corporate mechanism that's been put in place by the Vatican is basically the rule system that they're all subject to. So they work hand in hand, hand in glove. I mean, they both complement each other, the money system and the church system. Whether it's the same organization, I mean, it probably is ultimately. It's probably the same hand at the top running the same thing. It's been going on for thousands and thousands of years. I mean, let's face it, the Catholic Church is simply a modern manifestation of ancient churches and ancient cults. It's been going on since time immemorial. As long as we've had civilization, there's been people at the top that have attempted to control everybody else. And that's basically what it is.
Okay, so
it's very insidious, though, because they do it through the mechanism of spirituality. They try to teach you that it's all good and it's all proper and it's all to do with God and Christ and we're doing the right thing and all this. Like, it's very, very insidious the way they do it, you know?
In Croatia, we have well over 80% of declared Catholics, you know, and this is kind of sensitive subject for me and my countrymen. We even have religious class in our elementary schools from the first grade, and preparing our children to be good Catholics. And what would you say that we need to know about Catholic Church in general? And please make it simple for those who still feel that Church is our friendly neighbor and spiritual guide and something like that.
You don't need a church to get in between you and the Creator. You don't need anyone to come between you and God, especially not an organization which is going to allow suffering in your community. I mean, if you look at your local communities, you'll find a lot of poor houses around the place, and you'll have an incredibly opulent Catholic church in the middle of it. It's a corporate mechanism that has used the mechanism of Christianity to impose a corporate system over the minds of everybody, and it has nothing to do with the teachings of Christ. I think Christ would be absolutely disgusted in the Catholic Church. I think people need to be aware of what they're swimming in and be aware of what they're being sold. And what they're buying into. Really, the whole Christian mechanism is about the words of Christ. Everything else is a construct. Everything else is man-made. Everything else is irrelevant. If you truly believe in the words of Christ, listen to the words of Christ, and you will find that they are diametrically opposed to anything that's been presented by the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is a corporate empire. If it had mankind's best interests at heart, it would not have created the corporate system, which has gone out and done all the damage that we can see around the planet.
Okay, you would say that the Holy See, the Vatican, laid the foundations for the modern world of commerce, and somehow that it controls that world from behind the curtain with their partners in the banking system, let's say so.
Well, yeah, absolutely, and there's all sorts of things in there. I mean, you've got Raytheon, and there's lots of weapons manufacturers, also Behringer, you know, these sort of people. The Vatican are major investors in these sort of organizations, you know. So if you think about it, it's a corporate system. The whole Unum Sanctum Trust that was created, and then the three sister KV trusts that were created after that, which created this whole corporate empire that we now have, this is a direct result of the church. So, yes, it paved the way for it. And that's what they do. They send the missionaries into these countries. They teach them that there's a better way. Get rid of all of your paganism and follow this monotheistic God. He's going to look after you. And now that you're following this God, we're going to impose our rules on you, and we're going to just bring in these corporations and just make things better for you. But eventually the corporations take over. The church moves into the background. The whole place becomes rampantly corporate. Now, the church is still there as a figurehead, but you don't see anything Christian going on around you. You see gross suffering in the community because of the actions of these corporations. And this is a mechanism that they've used. They've been doing it for hundreds and hundreds of years. And it's still going on today. And absolutely, it paves the way for corporate control of every country. That's its purpose.
Okay, so you mentioned UCC filings made by one people's public trust. And you said that you're not sure that these events, resignation of Pope Benedict, had something to do with these files that remain unrebutted. And because UCC is all about commerce internationally, right? And unrebutted claim stands as truth in commerce, right? So,
well, the thing is with the whole IPPT thing that happened, you know, when I first got involved in the IPPT or heard about the IPPT, a lot of people have been asking me, what did I think of this organization? I really hadn't looked at it. I didn't know. I sort of thought, I don't know, there's lots of red herrings out there. There's lots of disinformation. There's lots of so-called organizations that have been created. I didn't really know. And then I had a friend of mine, an Australian researcher by the name of Santos Bonacci, contact me about the IPPT and told me that I should have the people on the show and talk about it. So I did, like virtually the next day or the day after. And all I really had done was look at the original filings to see what they said. And that original filing that said, if you be, you are free. And I thought, well, that is an ultimate truth. That's just a simple truth that can't be denied anyway. And I saw that as something really good. So I had them on the show and a lot of controversy developed around that. I think with the OPPT, I think it serves a purpose in as much as it exposes the fiction. That filing exposes the fiction. And if someone chooses to enforce a corporate system, a UCC system upon you, you can just point out to them that filing is there. But then I think the mistake people make is that they are forming organizations and stuff. You know, the OPPT of here and the OPPT of there, when really it's about the individual. Freedom has got to come down to the individual. My view of the OPPT filing, the original filing that said if you be, you are free, is that it exposes the fiction, and it's a useful tool just to point out to people who are still swimming in that fiction that system, I mean, it says that I'm free. In that system, it says that I'm free. I'm not interested in whether it's foreclosed on things and that, because I don't know. I think foreclosed is the wrong word that they use. I think there are people that still operate within those systems, and they're free to do so if they want to. I mean, the system's there. They can operate it in that system if they want. But I think it's useful for pointing out the fiction. I'm a little bit concerned about the things like the courtesy notices, because with a courtesy notice, you're giving you're pointing out the fiction to them, and then you're giving them your terms and conditions. Do they wish to contract with you? But when you do that, if you're going to contract with them, well, you're putting yourself back into the UCC system. There's a term that I use called sui generis, which means that I am a completely unique expression of creation. I have no peers. I'm not subject to the laws of my peers because I am unique. I'm a unique expression of creation created by my creator God. I would like to see something like that. Now, here's a courtesy notice to let you know that UCC system you're using is, it says that I'm free, and I'm just pointing out to you that I stand before you in the capacity of sui generis, and if you wish to even speak to me or have any right of ownership or right of control over me, I'd like to see you produce a contract bearing the wet ink signature of my creator, which gave you jurisdiction over this vessel that I inhabit. If you can't, then I require proof of claim that you're not operating a slavery system run by the Vatican. Because the Vatican itself claims, through the Holy See, it claims that it is God's representative on earth. And God said all men were created equal. You know, the one law of God is do no harm. If the Vatican is claiming that it has jurisdiction or a right of ownership over me, it's claiming it's a higher authority than God, and thereby its whole legal system is now defunct, because it can't base a legal system on the laws of God and be God's representative if it's claiming it's a higher authority. I need proof of that claim. See, that's my path that I go down. I think the UCC is good. I mean, the OPPT is good in a certain respect, because it shows people that they are free. But people have to realize that there is no organization that you can now create which is going to be a nanny or a new parent for you and establish your freedom for you. It's got to be up to the individual. Now, it was useful to point out the fiction, but there can be no leader, there can be no movement, there can be no figurehead on any true global revolution. It's got to come down to the individual. It's an evolution of consciousness. It's a revolution of the mind, and it's a personal thing. There are no leaders in this movement. There is no organization you can join. There is no piece of paper you can wave in the front face of anyone that's going to establish your freedom if you don't know that you are free and know who you are and know that you are sui generis under the eyes of the Creator and that nobody has a right of ownership or jurisdiction over you. There's only one law, and that's do no harm. If this system chooses to do harm against you, then it's broken the law and it needs to produce proof of claim that it's not part of a slavery system. That's the approach that I've been taking for quite a long time. And for me, it works. And that I think, is the most important thing. It's got to come down to the individual. And the OPPT banner is great and all this sort of stuff, and people are rallying to it, but they're still thinking this organization is going to save them. It's got to be them individually who's going to save them. You've got to be responsible for yourself, everybody, I believe.
I could not agree more with you. Nobody has the right to tell me that I am free, but myself.
Exactly. Exactly, exactly. And no, there is no banner, you can go waving, you can't walk up to some cop and say, look, your organization's been foreclosed on, here's the APPT, here's my contract, you know. Look, okay, if you're going to operate in that system, fine. That system says that if I be, I'm free. You need to rebut that if you're going to inflict yourself upon me. But apart from that, I'm sui generis. That's it. You got nowhere to go from there because you have no right of ownership over the vessel that I inhabit. You know, because that's the thing. People think, oh, I'm the name, I'm the vessel, I'm this, I'm that. I'm a frequency of consciousness inhabiting a biological vessel. That's what I am, you know. I've had police officers ask me, say, where do you live? And I say, I live in this vessel. That's where I live, you know. In a teepee, do you live in this teepee? I go, well, is this a trick question? We're both standing in the teepee and we're both living. Of course I live in the teepee. If I stand outside the teepee, now I'm living outside the teepee. You know, what does this mean? Do I live here? Of course I live here. Are you suggesting that if I go somewhere else, I'm deceased? So it's the language that you use, you know?
You don't have a soul. You are a soul. You have
exactly,
a body.
Exactly. And like they say in court, are you going to represent yourself? No, I don't represent myself. I am myself. Are you suggesting that I'm going to turn into a cardboard cutout and put myself in front of myself and stand there and pretend that I'm myself? What is this? You know, of course I don't represent myself. I am myself. See, it's the language that you use, and we get sucked into it by all the time. Where do you live? I live here. Okay, that means that when you're not there, then you're not there at the moment. Oh, here's your address. You live there. Okay, well, you're not there at the moment. You're here, which means you must be deceased, which means you're a corporation, which means you're under my jurisdiction. This sort of, you know, word magic that they use to trick us. Yeah. Be aware that if you're speaking your native tongue all the time, you're not speaking legalese. If they're trying to, well, attach proper native meanings to the words all the time.
Yeah. Max, let's get back to Pope Francis. Pope Francis is a Jesuit, and some time ago I had an opportunity to read a Jesuit oath. And it literally freezed my blood. Literally. That was some of the most horrific things that I have ever read. And would you please tell us something more about Jesuits, who they really are, and tell us your opinion about Pope Francis being a Jesuit?
Look, you know, it's all theater. The Pope, the whole Vatican system is a, you know, it's theater. It really is. But the Jesuits, well, you know, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, that's the thing. You start getting into these rabbit holes. People, you know, point the finger at the Jesuits and at the Vatican and at the Illuminati and at the Jews and at this and at that and try to find who's to blame. And there's a lot of societies that have created a lot of fictional constructs. And the Jesuits, again, I mean, it comes back to the Vatican system. It comes back to the Roman system.
Ooh, something happened. Let's try to fix that.
We lost Max, and we'll get right back him in. Bhoktam na bhoktam
Chidananda Rupa Shivoham Shivoham Chidananda Rupa Shivoham Shivoham Namrotyo Arna Shanka Name Jati Beda Pita Neva Meneva Matana Janma Navantur Namitram Guru
We have small technical difficulties, but we'll get right back on the track with Max. Somebody called us on Skype and it went crazy.
Through the line.
Yeah.
Are you there?
Yeah, Max. Somebody called us on the Skype and it just knocked you out of the air. So,
interesting what happens when you start talking about Jesuits, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, but this show gets the most hacker attacks of all shows in on this radio.
You know, Max, Radio Liberum has a habit to speak the truth, you know, and that is why they are suffering many
hacker attacks,
and not only that, but the pressure on the owner of the radio are enormous. He even was in jail for some absurd allegations for a couple of days. You know what he did? He live streamed dumpsters across the street. You know, people were digging through the dumpsters trying to find something valuable in there.
Something to eat,
or I don't know. And the thing is that these dumpsters were just next to the bank, one of major Croatian banks, and the bank was in the frame. So
no, it wasn't actually. It wasn't in the frame.
No?
No, but they didn't care about it.
They didn't care about it. So they called the police. They say that he's filming them and so on and so on. And the Barney just ended up in jail to see how the world looks from the inside.
Lovely.
Yeah. So let's back to the Jesuit thing. What do we need to know about the Jesuits?
Well, the Jesuits, it's basically the military, if you want to put it that way, the military arm of the Roman Catholic Church is what would be an apt way to describe it, you know. The Jesuits, I mean, it all comes back to the same thing, you know. It's like you've got a house with different rooms and people in different rooms that do different things. The Jesuits are still part of the whole Vatican system. It's part of the whole corporate system. They're kind of the muscle. Really, that go out there and just push the agenda of the Catholic Church. You find a lot of the main players within Catholicism and a lot of the main players around the world are Jesuits because they're ruthless. They're very, very ruthless, and they have a set, defined objective, and that is to push the Vatican corporate system onto the world. That's basically what they do in a nutshell. And ruthless, absolutely ruthless people, you know.
So is Pope Francis a warrior pope?
Well, it could be said that because he's a Jesuit, so it could be said that. I mean, these people don't take a backward step. I thought it was interesting. Wasn't there some oil or something found in his country just as he became pope?
Well, I'm not familiar with him.
I think there was something pretty major happened just as he was named pope. It seemed to be quite in line with the whole corporate system, anyway, the whole commercial system.
Well, if Pope Francis is a warrior pope, who against will he wage war?
Well, probably us. But they're of course they're pushing for the big war between the East and the West. They're really, really pushing that with the whole conflict in Syria at the moment and Egypt and everything that they're doing around the Middle East. They're really, really pushing for this war. You'd need someone like Pope Francis in there if the West is going to go to war with Iran, in order to rally the Catholics against them. Then you'd need someone like a Jesuit in there to do that, because you have to got a Pope who doesn't mind speaking in very strong warlike terms and still wrapping it up in peace and love and Jesus the way they do, you know.
So they do have resources unknown to us.
Oh, they've got resources everywhere. Like, if you think about the Jesuits, you think about the Catholic system, there's a Catholic church in virtually every suburb in the Western world. These people own more land than anybody. And they're everywhere all around the planet. So, yeah, they definitely have an agenda.
Yeah. Absolutely. So tell me, a couple of weeks ago we had Anne Bressington in our show as a guest. I'm sure that you know her, or at least know of her. And I asked her one simple question. Is Australian government a private corporation? And she said loud and clear, yes.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It is. All governments are. You'll find that all governments are private corporations.
Well, Anne Bressington is, as far as I know, the first politician that declared something like that publicly. What would you say about that?
Look, it's good that she's done that. I've actually met Anne once in Victoria in May. I think I met her about 6 months ago, three to four months ago, something like that. And she seems like a nice person. Of course, she's a politician, so I'll watch with interest and see where she goes, because politicians they're a different breed. It's interesting to see a politician that is prepared to speak out on these issues. But again, I'll watch and see, because of the controversy surrounding the OPPT. I mean, that's what got Anne Bressington involved in a lot of this as well, was the OPPT, Agenda 21 and the OPPT. Yep. Agenda 21, I mean, anybody who's sane, anybody who joined politics to make a difference, and I'm sure some of them did, it's just very rare that they actually get voted into positions where they've got any power. But if she actually joined politics because she wanted to do some good, when she finds out about Agenda 21, well, it's going to get under her skin, because, like it would with any sane person. I mean, this is a insidious plan. And that's mainly what brought her into it. And then the OPPT, she's been questioning me about the OPPT, and I've told her what I told you. You know, it's interesting, but don't let it become an organization that's going to be a new nanny state for you, because that's not what you need. The only thing that's relevant about it, I think, is the claim that says if you be, you're free. To me, the rest is noise, because I already knew that. And now that's in their commercial system, so that's great, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that Anne's realized that as well. I mean, the whole things that they've been trying to do with the CVAX and this new money system and all the stuff, this is all, I think, controlled opposition. I really do. I think that certain people have gone in and they've co-opted the movement. You'll notice that the people who even founded the OPPT abandoned the trust. They deregistered, or whatever it is, the trust. They dissolved the trust after they'd made all the filings, because there can be no organization. And it's other people who've come along and then created these regional branches of the OPPT and tried to put it under an organizational umbrella. I think Anne got pulled into that for a little while, but then she realized that it's all fiction. It's just moving into a new fiction, you know?
Yeah.
But she seems like she has a good heart. I'll just watch her with interest and see where she goes.
Well, she did a great job on exposing Agenda 2021 publicly, and eventually that got her into some trouble with the system, as you probably know of. So
she's got balls, I gotta say that.
Yeah.
Well, it's great that she's done it. I mean, it's good. It's really good to see a politician speaking out about these issues. She's the only one in this country I know that has. Probably one of the only ones around the world who has. So good on her, you know.
Okay, so you said that all the other world governments are also private corporations, as your own Australian government. If they are private corporation, who owns them, and where are their where did they register their corporations?
They're usually registered on the Stocks and Indices Exchange in the District of Columbia, same as where the Australia is registered. You know, Washington DC. That's where most of them are registered. But it all comes back down to this Vatican system. It comes back down to the Unum Sanctum Trust and the three Sesta KV Trusts that were created after it. That's the whole corporate system. It comes down to the Vatican. It always comes back to the Holy See. You look at America, all these different countries, it's always a priest who puts the people in place, isn't it? It's the Pope or the local bishop or whatever. You know, they're always the one who swear in the rulers. It all comes under the church. It's the bishop who puts the queen in place, because it all comes back to the papal system, you know. It all comes back to the same corporate commercial system. So you find that all governments are, because of the UCC system, the way all governments are designed to perform commerce, we've got uniform commercial codes, everyone's got to trade in certain ways. Of course it is. It's all corporate. It has to be, or it wouldn't function in that manner. So any government that is in the common markets or is trading with other countries, it has to be a corporate government by default.
Okay, but who owns them?
Who owns them? Well, I'd say, yeah, whoever owns the UCC, I suppose. I don't know who the actual owners would be, but I'd say it probably comes back to the Vatican, mm-hmm. the Rothschilds, the banking cartels at the top. And when you print the money, you can own anything. That's the thing, you know.
Yeah. You know, I read somewhere somebody found out that the United States Corporation is registered as a religious organization. Isn't that something?
That wouldn't surprise
funny?
Me. That wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, America, it waves religion out the front there on a white flag. It wouldn't surprise me at all. It goes out there and brutalizes the world, all in the name of Jesus. You know, it's a total brainwash. That doesn't surprise me though. That they would be out of all countries, it would have to be America.
Max, we did, when we introduced you in one of our articles couple of days ago or a week ago, I don't know, we put the YouTube video of you and your friend, what's his name again? You had a short video, I don't know, 10 or 15 minutes from one of the roofs, in Gaza. Yeah.
Yeah, Ken O'Keefe in Gaza, yeah. I want to go back to Gaza, actually, in December. I'm trying to get back there this year.
How do people live there? What's going on there?
Oh, it's shocking. It's absolutely shocking. The people in Gaza have saltwater showers. They have, you know, lacking in every sort of thing you can possibly think of. They're very, very oppressed people. You got an area, I mean, Gaza Strip, you've got to appreciate, Gaza Strip is 25 miles long. It's 5 miles wide, and it's home to 1.6 million people, over half of them whom are under 18 are children. And it's absolutely atrocious what's going on there. The borders have been closed. It's been under siege since 2007 now, and it's absolutely shocking. They're beautiful, beautiful people. They're very caring, very giving people. They're not the terrorists that the world thinks they are. They're just people who want to live a normal life. But unfortunately, the land is being stolen by Israel. It's disgraceful what's going on there, and the world's just watching and letting it happen. When I was there, I was really moved by the amount of children that I saw everywhere and the state of the place. I mean, there's things like the whole of the city smells very bad because the sewage treatment plant is broken, and Israel won't let the parts in to fix the sewage treatment plant. So now it's overflowing into the ocean, and it's polluting all the beaches. See, this is a slow kill. They just cut off all their supplies and cut off everything they need to function normally. They've even cut off all the water running into the country so that you've got to drink bottled water and have salt water showers, which are very difficult to clean yourself in. And it's been like this since 2007. And it's shocking. You know, they won't let anything in because it may be used as a weapon to be, you know, fired back at Israel, which is completely and utterly ridiculous. The rockets that they fire at Israel are just skyrockets. They don't explode. They're powered by fertilizer. They just go up and they come down and they put a hole in your roof. You know, and Israel will respond by dropping 500-pound bombs on residential areas, you know. So it's absolutely shocking. The world needs to pay attention because what we see in Gaza is a dispossessed people. People who are the victims of this corporate empire. And this is what the world will be if we don't pay attention. The world is getting more and more dispossessed. You know, this corporate system is just discarding population left, right, and center. And if we don't pay attention, the whole world will end up being like Gaza. And that's the thing. I mean, it's right there in full view for us to see. And it's a warning that if we allow this to continue and we allow this to happen in this one place, then this is where we're all going to be heading. I really believe that. The way of Gaza will be the way of the world if we don't pay attention.
Well, I wanted to ask you one question. When somebody tries to enforce unlawful claims, what can you do without the resources that governments have? They have weapons, they have police, they have prisons, they have military. What can one do to stand up to them and exclude themselves from their reach? It's something that you managed to do.
Well, it's very, very difficult. It's very difficult for one person to do it. I'm lucky here because I live in Australia. We've got a government here that has to at least pretend that it cares about its people. Many governments in Europe aren't like that. Many governments in Europe are very, very oppressive governments, and it's extremely difficult to stand up against these people. You can do it, as I said, by understanding that you are sui generis, but then you're likely to just disappear off the street because there's only one of you. And so really what we need is the power of community. I've been saying this for the last 6 years on the radio. If we can put down our differences and learn to respect ourselves and respect each other, then we have the power to stand up and bring about some positive change, because governments are simply public trustees in whatever country that they're in. There is no one who has of any more or any less worth than anybody else. There is no one who has a right of ownership over anybody else. And if governments are claiming they have a right of ownership over their population, then they're in breach of trust. But without the whole population standing up and saying that, or at least a good portion of it, then it's very, very difficult to combat. You may have some success in court, but, there's always, like I said, a chance you'll just disappear off the street.
It's their court. It's corporate court also. It's their court.
Exactly. That's the thing. You start swimming in that, and where are you going to go? If you're going to go to court, I suggest that you take a lot of people with you so that you've got a lot of witnesses to what you say, and always stand in the capacity of sui generis so that you are a completely unique expression of creation and you're trying to establish the jurisdiction of the court. That if I ever go to court, I will never offer a plea. I'll always get them to establish their jurisdiction over me, which they have never, ever been able to do. They can't get past the first step, because I won't offer a plea. I won't do anything. I'm here. You have to establish that you have jurisdiction over this vessel before I can move forward. And I'll try everything, but I just don't give them jurisdiction. Show me the contract bearing the wedding signature of my creator. Or show that you're not part of a slavery system. That's the only two options I'm giving you, because I'm accusing you of being part of a slavery system by the fact that you're making demands on me. So show me proof of claim that you're not, because I'm accusing you of being so. And if you are, then I can prosecute you under your own fictional legal system, because slavery is illegal in this country. So you can't exercise a right of ownership over me or make any demands of me. If there's been no injured party in my actions, then you can't make any demands of me. And I don't injure people. I live my life in a state of integrity. I don't go out and hurt people. I try to give to everybody. I'm just a giving, kind, caring person. I don't go out and break laws. I don't go out and create havoc or do damage. I might park in the wrong spot. I might speed sometimes. I might not pay a parking fine. I might break some of their statutes, but I don't break any laws, because in a breach of a law, there's an injured party. The only injured party in the breach of a statute is the person who's prosecuted. So this is the approach that I take with it all. Again, I'm lucky because I live in Australia. It's very difficult for someone in Croatia to probably do something like this, because your government's a little bit more nasty than ours.
Well, we started to challenge them, and we did have some success. And we'll see how it goes. There are brave people here who are willing to stand for themselves. And
well, there are. That's the thing, and that's what we've got to have. And once you've got that, that's another thing with the APPT thing. A lot of people get this and they get armed with a piece of paper and they want to go out and they want to take the government on and go out and challenge them. I don't do that, because I have no jurisdiction over them, the same as they have no jurisdiction over me. I don't want to fight the system. The system's fiction. Why am I going to fight it? It's a cloud. If I'm fighting something that's fiction, then it's insanity, isn't it? You're fighting that which does not really exist. That's a form of insanity. So I won't fight the system. But if the system chooses to inflict itself upon me, I'll ask it the right questions in the right way, and I'll question its jurisdiction. It might not be the best idea to do this with a cop on the side of the road. I'll simply say to them, look, are you prepared to use terrorism against me in order to coerce me into compliance? And they sort of look at you, you know. Say, well, you know, terrorism is violence or the threat of violence carried out against civilians as a means of coercion. Are you prepared to use violence in order to coerce me to comply to your will? And they go, yes, I am. I go, okay, well, I'll go with you then. But I'll point out, if I'm ever standing in court, look, this man threatened me with terrorism in order to get me here. So that's why I'm here. You can't say, oh, you have jurisdiction because I'm in your court. I was threatened with physical harm if I didn't come here by this terrorist employed by government to do this. And they don't like it when I call them terrorists in court, but I do it, you know. And that's the attitude you've got to have. You know, you've got to really pick your battles, pick your fights. It's no good arguing with a police officer on the side of the road because these people aren't very smart.
They're not.
I mean, they're stupid enough that they actually got a job as a police officer to enforce a corporate system. And that's not really smart, really. I mean, they don't really know what's going on. But they might be good people inside. Some of them have probably got good hearts. And they want to do the right thing. But they're brainwashed and they're not overly intelligent or they wouldn't be a police officer. So it's no good trying to argue with these people. Just go along with them. Be nice. Say a few things. Okay, well, I'm not contracting with you. I'm doing this out of fear for my safety. I'm complying with your demands out of fear for my safety, but I believe that you're part of a slavery system. And when I get to court, this is the manner in which I will be addressing it. You know?
Your strategy, you really explained it well. It sounds perfectly reasonable and simple. And
people go out and they get into fights with cops on the side of the road. It doesn't work for you. It doesn't. These are violent people. They do violent things. Just let them know, look, I'll go with you because I'm in fear for my safety, but if you do wish to pursue it, this is the direction I'll be going. I'll be mentioning sui generis. I'll be mentioning the slavery system. I'll be requiring proof of claim. I'll be requiring a contract bearing the signature of my creator. I can't go forward from that point in any court, in any country, because this is all based on the laws of God, and God says that all men were created equal. That's me. I'm man. I'm only answerable to my creator. If you're claiming you have authority over me, I'm sorry, but I serve a higher power, which is the power that this court apparently serves as well. So if you're claiming you can come in between me and that power, you are claiming you're a higher authority than God, and I need proof of claim.
Perfectly reasonable question to ask them.
Well, it is, and yeah. Be respectful
Absolutely.
And nice to these people. Don't go and attack them. They're brainwashed. They don't know what they're doing, the poor little things, you know. So just ask the right questions and do the right thing and be nice, and you can get through most situations as long as there isn't an injured party in your actions. I mean, if you've stolen something or hurt somebody, well, you suffer the consequences for doing those sorts of things.
Absolutely. Many things are hidden from the people, and the absence of transparency is quite obvious. And one of those hidden things is something in your country, and it is Pine Gap Military Facility near Alice Springs in Central Australia. And many stories are told about that facility, and what would you say about it? Is it just a satellite tracking facility, or there is more to it? Do you know something more?
There's more to it. There really is. It's a huge facility. It's a huge underground facility. I've got friends who live near Pine Gap in Alice Springs. I was actually there in 2011. I was down in Alice Springs with David Icke, and we drove out to Pine Gap, and we got right up to the gate, and there was a sign there saying, do not proceed past this point, subject to 5 years imprisonment. And so we turned around at that point, and both felt quite sick when we got back to Alice Springs, actually. It's like there was some sort of an electromagnetic interference there. The people that I was talking to who live in the Alice Springs area say that they had been pouring concrete there, about 100 meters of concrete an hour, every day, 24 hours a day, for the last 6 months while we were there underground. There's a huge underground facility there. There's a C-130 troop carrier arrive every day with supplies for this little satellite base. You know, there's enormous amount of activity there, but most of it's underground. It's very, very difficult to find out anything about it. There's only one vantage point from many miles away where you can actually get out some binoculars or a telescope and you can actually see most of the facility. And when you drive up to the gate, there's nothing you can see from the gate. There's a mountain in the way. And so you can't see anything. It's the most secret base on Earth. And God knows what they do there. It's believed to be part of a tracking grid as well, a satellite tracking grid. It's also very heavily involved with the whole NSA and Echelon data mining operation that's just been exposed by Edward Snowden.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very, very important facility for the powers that be.
God knows what they hide
well, you know,
place,
all you can do is speculate, hey? Yeah. I mean, people who come there and say, oh, they do this and they do that. Well, how do you know? You've been there?
Yeah.
Of course not. You can't know. All we can do is speculate. And when you really look at what technology they've got, well, it stands to reason that a lot of it would be going on at Pine Gap. And the secrecy surrounding the place very much suggests that to be the case.
Mm-hmm. Recently, some articles began to pop out all over the internet about charges of treason against high government officials in Australia. Do you know something about that?
Look, I'll believe it when I see it. These sorts of things have come out in many, many times. I've heard that the whole Australian government was charged with treason 2 or 3 years ago, or 4 years ago, 5 years ago. It keeps happening. Mm-hmm. But the government's still there. It just, you know, again, they're stepping into that legal system that these people wrote. There's certain laws in place that say the government can't be held accountable, basically, for their actions because they write the rules. You know, the government can't do anything illegal because government makes the legal parameters themselves. And it's a difference between what is legal and what is lawful. To me, people will say, oh, legal is lawful. I go, no, lawful is lawful, legal is legal. Lawful is do no harm, the laws of God, natural law, common law, even common law is a construct. I mean, we made it up. But natural law, do no harm. Service to creation and do no harm in your actions. Then, to me, that is real law, and the rest of it's legal fiction. So government can never really break the law, you know. They can never really do anything illegal because they make it up. So all of that sort of stuff, I mean, it would be great. Absolutely. Charge them all with treason because they should be, because it's an illegal government anyway. It's not even a de jure government here in Australia. It's a corporate entity. So, yeah, they should be charged with treason. Whether it'll happen, be interesting to see. I can't see it happening because the court system is a product of the government. It's just as corrupt as the government. So, you know, where do you go from there? But it's great that it gives people, brings it to their attention, the fact that this sort of thing's going on. But again, some of these things are distractions because you'll get people who may have acted who now won't act because, oh, no, I don't have to because the government's just been charged with treason. Let's see where this goes. And they sit back and wait for a couple of months and don't do anything. Nothing comes of it. And so they're back to square one. And you've got to look at that with the OPPT and stuff as well. A lot of people have waited for something major to happen. They've stopped participating in the world. They've stopped participating in the struggle because they think that this thing's going to come along and save them. They don't realize that it's up to us to participate in all of these events, you know.
It is individual, as you said.
It's all up to the individual. As you said. Yeah. Yeah. It is. It's all up to the individual.
Yeah. It certainly is. But I would like to touch one or two more subjects. You know, you mentioned Edward Snowden. Just a minute ago, what would you say about this whistleblower? How do you say whistleblowers?
Yeah, whistleblowers.
Well, look, I think that he did. What he did was he pointed out to everybody that what we've been saying in the alternative research community is actually real. You know, it's been going on for a long time. I mean, there's been talk out there. Now, the Australian Attorney General has actually come out and said, oh, he's not a whistleblower. Edward Snowden and Bradley Manning are not whistleblowers because they didn't expose government wrongdoing, which I think is pretty amazing. So, yeah, he's saying it's okay for the US military to shoot civilians. It's okay for the governments to be working in collusion to carry out espionage against everybody else. So, yeah, he's kind of put his foot in his mouth. You know, said they weren't doing anything wrong, so they weren't. These guys aren't whistleblowers, you know. it's a joke. It really is. I mean, whether Edward Snowden was a controlled leak, whether it was this, whether it was that, I mean, it's irrelevant to me. What it does to me is it provides the opportunity for people to see that everything we've been saying is true. They have been spying on you. They've been doing all this stuff. It's been put in place for years and years and years. So it's not a theory. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's a fact. These governments are criminals. They're acting in collusion. What we've got really across the world essentially is a crime gang run by the Vatican, run by the banking cartels, where we've got all these corporations that have been put in countries. They're like the store manager in each country. And the people of each country elect a new CEO for the store each year. But basically, it's a global criminal empire. That's all government is, because none of our governments are de jure governments. They're all corporations. They've reduced all of the human experience to commerce, and they're being used to milk the wealth of this planet and impoverish the people and reduce the people that are left into a slavery system. That's what it is. And it can't be denied, really. All you'll do is stand up and look around you. That's what we've got here, and people need to pay attention.
What is the reason for that? You know, I can't, you know, most people I know are decent human beings. Why do they do that? What is the reason?
The thing is, we've got a situation where psychopaths have maneuvered themselves into positions of control in our countries and in our corporate systems. And when you have a psychopath who creates a system, then the morality of the psychopath becomes the morality of the system over which that psychopath presides, and it becomes the morality of the people who are forced to work within that system. We've got a psychopathic system which views money and commerce as being more valuable and more important than the human race. Now, the human race created this system to service our needs, and yet we are the most expendable thing within the parameters of the system because it's a psychopathic system, and people don't question it. I think I've got to do it because it says here that it's the law. I have no choice. Well, you do have a choice. You can act morally. You can question whether this is a law or whether it's just legislation written on a piece of paper by a politician who made it up and said, you guys have got to do this now because we said so. That's the slavery system. And if people are having harm done against them, then they have to step back. And you're morally obligated to do the right thing. But, of course, if you do, you go to jail for 136 years like Bradley Manning, who did the right thing in exposing the criminality of the U.S. military and shooting the Reuters news reporters. I mean, it was his duty to report that. And he got 136 years in jail for doing it. So it shows how corrupt this system is. And it shows that it is a psychopathic system. And the only real way we're going to be able to combat it is if we all realize who we are. We start to respect each other and we simply refuse to comply with this system. Using the mechanisms that I've explained previously, through the mechanism of sui generis, through the mechanism of knowing your uniqueness, knowing that there's only one law, do no harm, that's it. And we can get through this. See, the beauty of this time is that the whole mechanism is being laid bare for us now. We're beginning to see that it is a psychopathic system. We just didn't question it before because we thought the words on the paper was real. But they're just words on paper. They're not real. What's real is life. What's real is this planet, the people and the life on this planet, and the potential that we have to do something absolutely fantastic with this human experience. We really have the potential to do that. And what holds us back is government. Government is what holds us back all the time. That's what government is for. It's to limit the human experience. That's its only purpose. It doesn't want change. It wants to be able to control and homogenize everybody so that the people at the top who pull all the strings can just sit back and enjoy the world and have their little slave cartel, their little slave group beneath them that does what they want. And they enjoy it. They're psychopaths. They like puppeteering people. They like to see wars. They like to see destruction. They like to see bloodshed. They like to see people going at each other and screaming at each other and ripping each other to pieces in order to collect paper. You know, it's fun for them. It's like a game. It's like a chess game. You know, they have no empathy and they just do what they do because they can. They've maneuvered themselves in a position where they can. I think a lot of it has been to do with the loss of shamanistic traditions, the loss of our connection to the earth, because back in the old days, the shamans would weed out these people from our society. They'd make sure that psychopaths never maneuvered themselves into positions of power because they're very charismatic and they always will. And that's really what we've got. We've got a psychopathic system because these people have been able to maneuver themselves into positions of power.
And would you say that these psychopaths also infected the banking system?
Well, psychopaths always recognize other psychopaths. And if you've got a psychopathic system created by psychopaths, then it's always going to look for that little sociopathic spark in anybody, and it's going to nurture that. And if you're the sort of person who's ruthless in business and wants to climb over other people, and you're always going to maximize profits at the expense of the people, then you're the man for the job. We'll give you the position as CEO because we want someone like that. We want someone with no empathy that will run this system so it runs efficiently. Don't care about the people. Care about the bottom line. Care about the commerce. Care about the money. And if you do, we'll give you more trinkets to play with. It's the way it works.
Max, what would you say about the current financial system? Is it about to crumble, or will it manage somehow to survive this all the crises popping out all around the world?
Well, it'll keep going as long as they can keep the wars going. I mean, the wars are what's holding it up at the moment. You know, America is so in debt, but it's got all the guns, you know. America can never, ever pay off its national debt to anybody. It'll never, ever pay back the money it owes to everybody, but it's got all the guns. And while it can keep creating money for war, the system will keep going. So, I mean, it's got to implode. I'm surprised it hasn't already. Because, I mean, all fiat systems implode eventually. But it's the fact that the U.S. currency is the universal currency, the global trading currency, the reserve currency. And so that's what's keeping it going. If it wasn't for the wars, though, this is why America's at war all the time, because it has to do this to manufacture spending just so it can print money, keep money out there circulating, because that's the only thing that's keeping the economy floating at the moment is war.
And Max, we are running out of time, and maybe we can continue this on some other occasion if this is okay with you. Maybe in a couple of months when something new pops out, you know.
I'm happy to come on again. It's nice to talk to someone in Croatia. Actually, lovely country. I was there last year.
I know you were at the hemp conference, right?
In Slovenia, yeah, and I gave a couple of talks in Zagreb and Opatija. And it was a lovely country, lovely people. It was very cold when I was leaving, and I was glad to leave. It was just starting to snow. I thought, no, I'm not being in Europe for winter, no way.
Next time, come in the summer.
Come during the summer.
Yeah. So I'm from Australia, and I'll tell you that winter in Europe, no, not for me at all.
Max, I have a last question for you. What is your message to your brothers and sisters in Croatia?
Oh, look, you are powerful. You are beautiful. You really are. This is the most important time in human history. It really is. This is the time when the mechanism of the system is laid bare for all to see. And so this is the first time in the human experience where we have actually had an opportunity for freedom. Because true freedom is 100% self-responsibility for your actions. And if you people in Croatia can learn to truly know yourself and respect yourself, then you'll find that respect for the people around you happens by default. And when you get to that stage, you have the power to stand up against anything. You have the power to change the system overnight, because the power of the people can accomplish absolutely anything. And the power of community is the most moving and important and poignant force on this planet. It really is. And we can do that. You can do that. Everybody can do it. We can. We just have to put down all of our division, put down all the stuff that people have, you know, stuff you've got with your neighbors, stuff that people did. It doesn't matter what people did. They weren't given an even playing field, so they messed up. We do. We all do. Everybody has. It doesn't matter. It matters what we do. It doesn't matter what we did. You know, you've got to realize that everybody's been subject to a completely corrupt corporate system which has been designed to completely dismember and dissect and crush and crucify the human experience. It's designed to remove all your power from you. And you've got to realize that it's not true. It's fiction. You are very, very powerful. And we are capable of making this into a beautiful world if we all choose to participate. So that's my message really to all people. You are beautiful. You are powerful. Don't believe what the government says, and don't believe that there's anybody who is more or less important than you are, because we're all in this together.
We're all the same.
Thank you. Thank you.
We are. And it's a huge opportunity, man. It really is. This is the best opportunity we've ever had for freedom. We've had revolutions in the past, but it's never worked because we've never really had everything laid as bare as it is now. And we've never really known ourselves as we do now. now it's all coming out. It's all people are realizing that there are better ways of doing things. And I think this is a very, very important time.
Max, thank you. Thank you very much for joining us in our Croatian OPPT radio show, Hour of Truth. Until the next opportunity, and stay tuned, we will be playing Weeping Song, performed by your fellow countryman, Nick Cave, and the Bad Seeds.
Okay.
Thank you again, Max. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.